There is something about the start of a new year that invites you to stop and reflect. Once the holidays are over and life settles back into routine, issues you've been avoiding can have a way of popping up, especially in relationships. So it might not come as a huge surprise that January is a peak time for separations, not because the holidays cause breakups, but because they can highlight what was already there. They can bring up questions. Can this change? Do we need help? Is it time to move on? If this new year has brought up new reflections on your relationship, how do you tell the difference between a rough patch that needs attention and a partnership that's run its course? Well, with me to discuss it is Elizabeth Shaw, clinical psychologist and CEO of Relationships Australia New South Wales, and Dr. Zoe Krupka, psychotherapist, senior lecturer at the Ken Miller Institute. Elizabeth, Zoe, welcome to Life Matters. Elizabeth, I might start with you. What is it about this time of year that prompts major relationship decisions?
Look, I think there is that psychological shift of new year, new beginnings, which is why we have New Year's resolutions and that sort of impetus to turn the page, and all that imagery and the way we language that is very meaningful for people in a very positive way. Being able to set new goals and feel like whatever you were dragging through last year, there's that temptation to leave it all behind and have another go at things that perhaps you'd lost heart for last year. So I think that certainly draws our attention. But when there are relationship concerns, when people are really questioning going forward in the relationship, inevitably it's not caught up in that, because that would be quite a trite assessment of the relationship. Generally, this is built for a long time, and it's more that the holidays were a chance to clear the excuses people have been using, like, oh, well, we've been busy, it was a tough year, you know, the kids took a lot out of us, work caused us trouble. And to say, well, on holiday, can I still say all of that? So some of it is that, you know, that sort of final chance to say, when we're relaxed and connected, what are we seeing then? And also there are a proportion of people who really have been hanging on by the fingernails and thinking, well, it would be wrong to leave just before holiday festivities. I need to wait till I've got the family through to be fairer and kinder in my announcement.
Zoe, how does that land for you? Do you see more people questioning their relationships at this time of year?
Oh, definitely. I think what Elizabeth said was really kind of important in terms of that space. I think also, you know, I see people for whom those celebrations of Hanukkah, of Christmas, also come with added substance abuse, if that's been in the relationship as well. Or as Elizabeth said, that kind of space where people realize, okay, it's really not just the pressures of our day-to-day life. This is what we're like even when we're on holiday.
Elizabeth, you mentioned New Year's resolutions there, or that New Year, New Me vibe. Like, New Year's resolutions are famously short-lived. We're right at the end of January now. Is it ever sort of a rash decision if this is the sort of impetus?
Look, not what I see. I think there is, you know, certainly for older generations, often this idea that people give up on relationships easily and quickly. But I suppose, you know, having seen couples and families for 30 years, I see the ones that fight for it. But I actually don't see anybody give up on a commitment in a lightweight kind of way. Although definitely we would know people out there who'll be listening to this show who think their partner didn't give it a fair shot. And that is often because the partner, you know, chose and they were caught short with that. So they might feel they didn't have the time to work it through. But generally there is fair consideration of it. I think then the debate becomes, how do we review it when we are starting to look at the relationship being in difficulty? How do we review it? So for some people, they would say, well, look, I'm willing to try counselling. And they go to counselling once and say, well, we tried counselling. Mm-hmm. and that didn't work, that's not what I would call trying counselling. There are other people who say, well, look, we've been trying for 12 months, we've sat and had big talks, you know, we've promised to do things differently and it's never worked. I mean, again, that's another form of trying, which has often exhausted people, given them a bad impression of their capability as a couple. And often they're just stewing in their own juices, you know, they're going round in circles. Whereas I guess if a relationship has had any weight where you've committed and you've spent good time together and it meant something to you, I think it's really worth having a number of sessions with a well-qualified person who's specialised in couple work to really say, let's have a look at this for a number of reasons. One is to make sure you're not judging it on the wrong things. For example, if you have a terrible communication style, that might make you feel doomed when in fact the content you're arguing over is very fixable, if only you talked better together. So making sure you sort out the wood for the trees. But I think also if you do separate, it gives you a chance to get closer onto the same page so that the person who's really wanting to work at it catches up with you a bit and you feel a bit more thorough that you've given it due consideration. That will mean if you have to separate, it will go a little bit more easily and you'll make better decisions together.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor speaking to Elizabeth Shaw, a clinical psychologist and CEO of Relationships Australia, New South Wales, and Dr. Zoe Krupka, psychotherapist and senior lecturer at the Cairnmiller Institute. We're talking about the fact that January seems to be the time of year that people question their relationships. Sometimes we see a spike in breakups. Zoe, this is something you speak about with your clients, but it's also something you've lived through yourself. If you're happy, do you mind telling me your story?
I am. You know, I think it's important, really important for people in our roles not to pretend that we have it all sorted or that these things don't happen to us. And I think what Elizabeth said was really important in terms of the idea that things can look sudden and feel sudden in a breakup, but often things have been brewing and people have been thinking about whether they'd like to continue in a relationship for a long time. And that was certainly my experience, that we hung in there and tried many things, including counseling. And so even if it appeared and felt sudden not long after the holidays, it certainly wasn't. So I really understand that pattern, you know, professionally and personally.
If you don't mind, what was it that made you kind of go, okay, we're pulling the trigger here? Was there something about this time of year, or how did you come to that decision? It's huge.
Look, it's a really big decision. And, you know, I'm a therapist. I'm invested personally and professionally in repair. So I actually didn't make that decision. My ex made that decision, and I have to say I'm really grateful. I think that was really brave of him. I didn't feel that way at the time. But I think, you know, looking back, there are a lot of couples, and certainly I see this kind of in my practice with people as well, whose struggles are not just, you know, communication style, but, you know, a kind of a fundamental mismatch of values and ways of being. And I can really see that in my own breakup 15 years ago, because I really see us in relationships now where we're much more aligned and much happier generally. And that's a real sign for me of this being, you know, the right decision. I think we really demonize divorce a lot as a kind of a failure or a fault. But of course, it can also be a very positive decision ultimately, even when it's really painful.
Elizabeth, just hearing Zoe talking about that fundamental mismatch, that it was the right thing to part ways, how do you know when it's something that you should be sticking out or when it is something where there's a fundamental misalignment?
I think it can actually be surprisingly difficult to tell. And the reason I say that, is because I think when, because of my general impression that people don't give up on a relationship that's been a good relationship and a one of any weight easily, I think what happens is that people do go into hope that it is a bad patch. You know, we've got a lot of pressure on us at the moment. You know, we've got something to look forward to. And so they tend to go quiet rather than raise the concerns. And then they go round and round in their own head. Women are more likely, research demonstrates this, to talk to girlfriends. And actually, if you do a lot of talking to people outside the relationship, while it can normalise and actually give you good ideas to come back, it equally can amplify your reservations because friends are loyal to you and they want to say things that are supportive. And so for people that internalise, they're going round and around in their own worries. And depending on your support team, equally they could accidentally through support, trying to be supportive, amplify things. So what you can find is a couple who are in fact struggling are bringing less and less to each other because to go to your partner and say, actually, I'm feeling really worried about our relationship can feel like a really big call. So in fact, they don't do it. So these sorts of things mean that problems fester and linger. And people draw conclusions that I'm 60% out because the tea leaves I've been reading give me those views. And they might have really data that's not the best data to draw from.
Zoe, couples therapy is a big part of how people work through these. Talk to me about what actually happens in that room.
Well, I'm not a couple therapist, so I liaise with couple therapists in my practice when I'm working with individuals. I've certainly been a couple therapy client as well. So, you know, I think what Elizabeth said about the difference between kind of having a fight and going over and over the same ground in the same way is really, really important. You know, what I see for myself when I've been in couple therapy as a client, what I see from my clients when they come back from their couples therapy sessions, when they've been helpful, is really that they have learned new ways to say the same things and new ways to understand what they hear from each other. And that's really, really key. So, you know, your assumptions of what your partner means when they say what they're saying, and also your assumptions about what is a reasonable way to raise something can really be challenged. So, you know, for instance, in my past relationship, I will often raise something in what we call a protest, which is, you know, I don't like this or I'm upset about this, rather than saying, you know, I miss you or I would like more of this from you. And even that small change can, for many people, be hugely transformative in how they see the problem and how they feel about their partner.
Elizabeth, so then talk to me about some of these skills that Zoe's gesturing at there that we can use to keep our relationships strong so that we're not maybe next January feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm back here again.
Look, I think Zoe had some really good tips there in that I think when people have been going round in their own heads, they're worried to say these things, it can come out in a blurt of stress. And often people will start with you never, you know, that kind of statement, you always. And what it does is it leads to defensiveness. Nobody wants to be framed as all one thing all the time. Absolutely saying something about your good intentions for the future, which is, you know, I am feeling, you know, disconnected from you. I want better for us. I would like us to get back to, or I would like us to work towards. I think, you know, we could do this. I want the best for us. I think trying to set the frame that it's a safe conversation because I'm not letting you go. I actually want to be closer. And I think to own your own part in it, because so often, particularly going around in our own ruminations, we are constantly doing an inventory of what's the matter with the other person. And in fact, I was reading some research where even individual therapy, not from someone like Zoe, who is absolutely working in the right coaching direction from what she was just saying, but there are people who again get caught in that amplification where almost the individual therapist and the client are talking through how the moment should have gone, whereas the best of it is to go home and try this. And, you know, I think it's about getting people to go back and say what they really meant and to own their stuff, which might be, you know what, I think I've been unproductive lately too. I've been saying things because I'm so panicked, or I've been saying things in anger and that's probably hard to hear. You don't have to blame yourself for the relationship problem, but I think to know you'll be 50% of why the interaction is going poorly. And if you present that to your partner, it shows leadership. They're more likely to say, yeah, I haven't been behaving well either. You've got a much better chance of being back in a we conversation than I blame you, you better own up to that kind of conversation, which is inevitably quite doomed.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth and Zoe. Elizabeth Shaw is a clinical psychologist, CEO of Relationships Australia New South Wales. Dr. Zoe Krupka is a psychotherapist and senior lecturer at the Cairn Miller Institute.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.